And one of the questions I have is just, you've been through a lot. You've seen a lot.
Yeah.
World War II, you know, fame, success.
Travel. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and I, of course, I mentioned again that in one of the articles, you said all the strands of my life have come together.
Yeah.
So what are the important things in life? Right. And you were getting into that. But what would you say are the important things in life? What should people really focus on now, in your opinion?
The important things in life. Well, I don't know how much of my biography you've caught up on, but you probably know that my father had a family business in Manhattan.
Shilak.
Yeah, and that I was the fourth generation William Zinsser, and my father had three daughters, and looked forward to the day when I, his only son, the fourth William Zinsser, would come into the business. Mm-hmm. I naturally, it was strongly expected that I would go into the business. And I lived in a generation where most people went into a business and did what they were expected to do. And life was sort of, they charted a life path. They went to work for IBM, and they had no doubt in their mind that they were going to work for IBM till they retired, and they would get their pension. And they even referred to themselves as, we're IBM people, we're Union Carbide people. That was their identity. I believe you're given one life, that you should not do anything, you should not follow any expectations that are not the right ones for you. That is really my central belief in life. I know it was not right for me, even though it was a ready-made job, a safe job, to be, you know, have a company. That would have been stultifying for me. So I told my father I was going to become a my dream was to become a newspaper man, my childhood dream went way back. And that's what I did. I went off into the Army. When I came home, I got a job on the Herald Tribune, the paper I had always wanted to work for. And that's where my life really began. I left it when the paper, which had been my dream paper, began to go downhill. I just quit because my standards as a writer and a teacher were shaped by reading the Herald Tribune when I was a kid. Too small to hold the paper up, and I had to spread it out on the floor. And the paper had a wonderful qualities of humor and humanity, seemed to be a paper that was edited just for me, and so did everybody else who read the paper. So it had conveyed a sense of enjoyment. So that has been one of the pillars of my life. Whatever you're doing, try to convey a sense that you are enjoying what you do. Most people do not think of that as a thing they should be doing. If you're a writer, a editor, an artist, a musician, why should people read your book or your article if you do not give them a sense that you're enjoying taking them on this ride? So humor has always been a primary element to me. My books, my writing have a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is luck that I inherited. My parents both had humor. But a lot of it is just generating the humor. Writing is a lonely occupation. I put in humor just to cheer myself up. Mm-hmm. And I know that 10 other people are going to like it. I'm not worried that not everybody is going to like it, because I know that 28% of the population has no sense of humor. They're totally unaware that there are people in the world trying to entertain them. So I don't want them anyway, and they don't want me. So you're never going to please everybody. And if I please 10 people and make them laugh, one person and make them laugh, that seems to me to be a good day's work. So I've always made an effort to generate a sense of enjoyment in what I'm writing and what I edit. And that, I think, is perhaps what has kept me going, and that's what has kept readers following my work, whatever